Hi, friends. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Good Morning Family, a podcast of my weekly sermons. Who knows? Maybe I'll throw in a special sermon for you every now and then. I hope this podcast is good news for you. If you find these words helpful, please rate and review my podcast on iTunes or on whatever host you found it. Thanks for your help and for being part of the family. And now, here's this week's sermon. Listen and enjoy. Good morning, family. Have you ever been to a wedding? Of course you have. But have you ever been to a wedding where something went wrong? Well, today's gospel reading takes place at a wedding. And according to John, Jesus is there with his disciples and his mother. Spoiler alert, something goes wrong. Let's read the story from John chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 11. Hear the word of the Lord. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They don't have any wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby were six stone water jars used for the Jewish cleansing ritual, each able to hold about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some from them and take it to the head waiter," and they did. The head waiter tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the groom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first. They bring out the second-rate wine only when the guests are drinking freely. You kept the good wine until now." This was the first miraculous sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of God for you, the people of God. And we say, thanks be to God. Something almost always goes wrong at a wedding. Several years ago, I performed the wedding for a young couple. The big day came, the groom and the groomsmen showed up early, the musicians were in place, the flowers arrived, the candles were lit, everything was set. All we needed was the bride and the bridesmaids. We waited, we worried, we texted, we called. It turns out the limo driver got lost. The musicians kept playing and playing and playing. Nearly 40 minutes after the wedding was supposed to begin, the limousine arrived and all the ladies climbed out. Relieved, I stepped into the church sanctuary to signal the musicians that we were about to start. The groomsmen were lined up and the bridesmaids were ready to go. That's when I realized that we were still missing the bride. I thought I saw her get out of the limo. I looked around and finally found her standing just inside the church doors with a desperate, panicked look on her face. Her wedding dress had started to come apart at the seams, while her mother and her maid of honor were both using sewing kits to stitch the dress back together while the bride was still wearing it. It's kind of funny now, but it certainly wasn't funny that day. It seems that something always goes wrong at a wedding. Ring bearers lose the ring. Flower girls drop the flowers. When my wife and I were married, the organist dropped a hymnal on the organ keys during the ceremony. In case you were wondering, we pastors all have our own stories about wedding mishaps. One pastor I know showed up an hour late for a wedding. Another one misspoke the wedding vows. Well, in the Gospels, Jesus told some wedding stories. Most of them were parables. One wedding in a small village 4 miles from Nazareth is the only one we know that Jesus actually attended because it's the only one recorded in the Gospels. Weddings were a big deal back then, just like they are now. The groom's family was responsible for all the food and drink at a Jewish wedding. It was a major social event and often lasted an entire week. Any lack of hospitality was an embarrassment to the hosts. In today's gospel story, Mary, Jesus' mother, noticed that the wine was about to run out. So what did she do? She told her son. Somehow she had an inkling that he could fix things. When she approached Jesus, he answered her in a way that sounded rude, didn't it? He said, "What does that have to do with me?" But Mary persisted. She told the servants to do whatever Jesus told them to do. At Jesus' direction, the water jars were filled to the top. Then the liquid was poured out and tasted by the steward. He was amazed at the excellent quality of the wine inside the jars, so he served it to the wedding guests. And that, in a nutshell, was Jesus' first miracle in the Gospel of John. Have you ever wondered why turning water into wine was Jesus' first miracle? Jesus was compassionate after all, wasn't he? Obviously, he didn't want the wedding hosts to be humiliated. But why was turning water into wine his first miracle? Why didn't Jesus start out by raising the dead? Why not heal a whole leper colony, right? That would have gotten a lot more attention, wouldn't it? Now, please don't misunderstand me. I think turning water into wine was impressive for the disciples. They seem to be the main audience for this miracle. And wine is a powerful symbol of blessing. This sign was a spectacular show of his power. By the way, you probably won't find the word miracle in your Bible, but some translations use the word sign. In the Bible, good food and wine, and lots of it, symbolize the grace of God. The water jugs in this story would have held about 200 gallons of wine, quite a bit more than any small town wedding party could drink. But wherever Jesus goes, abundance follows. Wherever Jesus is, there's enough for everyone, whether it's a crowd of 5,000 on a Judean hillside or a wedding party in Cana of Galilee. Wherever Jesus is, there is peace, because wherever Jesus is, there is not just enough, there's more than enough. Most people in the ancient world were very traditional. They believed that old is best. Some scholars say the water in this story represents Judaism, while the wine represents Christianity. The water in the six jugs was being kept in the banquet hall so people could wash their hands and feet and stay ritually clean for God as they came and went from the wedding ceremony. The old laws and customs weren't corrupt or evil, but now that Jesus had come, the old laws seem incomplete. So maybe the change from water to wine symbolizes the change from living by the law to life in union with the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus invites us to see the world in a new way. Through the love of Jesus, a window was opened for the disciples and for us. We are called to share God's gifts, just as the wedding guests enjoyed the 200 gallons of good wine. Now, living in the extravagance of Jesus doesn't mean that things will always be easy, or that nothing bad will ever happen to us. But, and this is a big but, we are always loved and we are always forgiven. And one day, Jesus told us, we'll enjoy a wedding feast to top all other wedding feasts, where God's forgiven people will celebrate eternal life together. And nothing will go wrong in that wedding reception, right? Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus celebrated people. People getting married, people enjoying meals together, people being healed of their diseases and disabilities. Jesus embodied and proclaimed a God of love, a God of joy, a God of grace, and a God of mercy. Today we're in the season of Epiphany. It's the time of year when the church celebrates the wonder of God with us and God for all the world. That's what Epiphany means in the Christian sense. It's the realization that Jesus came for everyone. Jesus came for all who were hungry, thirsty, and desperate. Or as we like to say, for the last, the least, the lost, and the left out. Jesus came to show everyone the love and acceptance of God. So I invite you to bring the empty container of yourself and let Jesus fill you with new wine. Let him give you new and better life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Good and gentle God, you make all things new. Through signs of grace, you reveal your glory to the world. Open our eyes to the wonders you perform. Help us to believe with our minds and trust in our hearts that you alone are the Lord of all creation. Give us your new and better life. Not only that, but give us, we pray, ears to hear the cries of the oppressed, eyes to see the needs of the poor, and voices to speak for those who have no voice. Again, Father, we pray for those who are sick. Give your healing, your wisdom, and your protection, we pray, especially to those who are battling COVID-19. And with the Omicron variant, we pray, Father, for your continued protection and for more wisdom to know what to do. We pray for those who are in pain. We pray for those who are under stress. We pray for those who are tired and for those who need direction. Use us, we pray, to bring comfort and care and love, your love, to them today. Father, you've called us to give your love and your healing to those who desperately need it. Help us, we pray, to value, love, comfort, and care for those who are the last, the least, the lost, and the left out. And now, using the words debts and debtors, let us pray with boldness the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, thank you for joining me today. Was this message helpful to you? If so, will you like, review, and share this podcast? Also, if you have a need or prayer request, please leave a message in the comment section and be assured that I will be praying for you and for your need. This week, your job is to love at least three people and make sure at least one of them doesn't deserve it, because everyone needs love and everyone needs to know that God loves them no matter what. Please don't let all the troubles of life take away your joy. Remember, no matter what happens, with Jesus, we always, always, always have hope. Now receive these words of benediction. May the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and grant you his peace. Amen. Amen.